You reminded me of memory. Not a memory. But a memory.
That twisted lift of something. What you're hearing in the background is my new CD, Ammomancer, Night Blooming. But it is a song. And what we're going to do for this week's podcast of From Out of the City is I'm going to let it play. And as it plays, from time to time, I'll take the sound up so you can hear certain phrases and points of emphasis. But I'm going to talk about the creation of this CD, give you a little background.
Your shoulders bare to my
the,
touch.
Your eyes. The whole concept for the CD came together rather rapidly. I knew I was working on a new CD, and I had a lot of different ideas I was kicking around. But there's this one particular muse I've been working with of late, and it occurred to me to bring the whole thing into focus, using her as kind of a central point. And many of the poems, many of the songs, so to speak, let's just call them that to simplify our definitions, were about her. So it just made sense. And I like coming up with a unifying theme, just as I often use poetry cycles to display different aspects of an emotion or an event or a muse. So did I do that here. For those of you completely ignorant of some of the imagery and some of the labeling that's being used, Ammomancer is an old nickname of mine that comes from my phrase Ammomancy, my word Ammomancy, which builds off of my word Amote, which is actually a contraction of the Latin amote, which would probably more properly be said te amo, which means I love you. And ammomancy is the act of writing or speaking of love, as in the writing or recitation of a love poem or love letter. And I created the phrase, the word ammomancy, to be sort of a $3 term for the writing of love poetry. And somewhere along the way, someone took that and said that someone who writes ammomancies is an ammomancer. But this first piece, The Taste, is almost over. And let me get back to that just one second. I want you to hear the opening to the second piece, which is Centaur.
Centaur, take one.
Let me walk to the horizon with you there by my side. I'm not looking to play martyr to some self-consuming pride. Now, the first piece on the CD, The Taste, is an actual reflection on, I guess, reflection. It's looking back at memories of a lover and feeling that painful joy at the memories and how memory becomes synonymous with the memories. It's a bittersweet piece, but it came out very well. The band, my band, The Gods of Love, have been very good, and most of the time we start from the poem. Once in a while, they'll throw out a piece of music and we'll build to it, but usually we start with the poem, and such was the case with The Taste, and with this piece, Centaur. For those of you familiar with the Golden Heart cycles, a centaur is a totem that I've used more than once for myself. And this is sort of a manifesto of my romantic feelings, my worldview romantically, so to speak. Dramas are better lived in lover's arms. And it came out fairly nice. It's got a nice trance feel to it. The band did their job. And let's listen to it for a second.
Let me walk to the horizon with you there by my side. Let us sleep in fields grown feral where no hunger is denied. Let me walk to the horizon with you there by my side.
One of the things you may notice that we did with this CD was we tried to group by musical tone the pieces. This first section is very soft. Here comes one called Sleep. And let the silence signify your release of the pain that stains your day with sorrowed tomorrows, both rotten and misbegotten, defiled by the taste of vinegar in a skewed worldview. Some of these pieces, when I listen to them, and I realize that we started from a naked reading and then built the music around them, it kind of startles me that we were able to put such appropriate music behind it. This piece was written to a muse who had a lot of pain in her life, and it was merely written to tell her, you just need to rest. You need to let yourself heal. You need to sleep. Just lay down and sleep. I spun in some other elements. You can't live as long as I have without having other images besides the moment or the person you're talking to. But there are elements that come into that.
Away the day.
And I'm not a sleeper. I'm not someone who finds rest easily. But I recognize the healing power
of
just stepping away and closing your eyes and letting your mind and body heal. And this is one of the last pieces on this
sleep
that's very basic and naked and
into your head,
gentle.
Miles away.
What comes up after this is a piece called The Warm Wine. And for those of you familiar with my older works, yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're going to take a crossover from healing self-help philosophy into semi-obscure eroticism in just a moment. But that's okay. You need that, don't you? She was midnight, bright light and warm as life and fire. Soft lips, her hips made for the touch of this man's hands. Dark hair, nowhere did she deny her true desire. Kisses wander beyond her heart,
naked she stands. Her breath, small death. Bright light, delight her vows inspire. Warm wine drawn out to share. So fair, her bed pain's pyre. Sentimental, sacramental, gentle demands.
You can see that that's a very different piece of music than the earlier ones. We're kind of transitioning over.
She was the gate of fate.
This is pretty straightforward.
Burning my heart ashen.
It's what I call a sphered memory, a faceted
waking,
sphere.
Taking.
It's not describing something that actually happened,
me, well,
but something.
Draining and sustaining,
to quote Steve
my
Martin,
heart in her fashion.
That you wish were true, which he said in reference soft to what a kiss is.
And sweetly. And completely lifts me from hell.
The piece itself has a very
tender
nice feel
splendor,
to it, very
no
folksy country feel to
passion
it, and I found it a refreshing change of pace.
Angel made
now,
flesh,
what's coming up after this
dream
piece is a is one of those arcs. Those of you who've listened to my earlier CDs know I'm very fond of arcs. I'll have a single piece of music with several poems in it.
Well.
And what's coming up is an arc that I call Rivers of Resurrection that actually contains three different poems. And I'll leave it to you guys to disentangle them and figure out what they are. They're all three poems known to my general readers. Shouldn't be too hard.
Make way the gray,
but
play and stay.
I found it fun when we did this this piece.
In her mission,
the warm wine.
No division.
I
peace
recorded the vocal. Then the band came up with the music, and then I went back and re-recorded the vocal because I wanted something a little more
consign me to life,
expressive. It came across a little arch at a few points. I wasn't sure of it, but everybody else was like, "Oh yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's a new. That's a different sound for you." And I'm like, okay, give me a break. You know, I just know someone's going
to
be reviewing this thing and just rip this track apart. But you know what? It's nice to express yourself in a different way once in a while. My poem Poet's Lament at the beginning of this, and that's cool.
I wish I could.
It's a good poem. It's been around for a little bit, but it worked well into the arc of this piece, which contains three poems. For those of you who've ever wondered about that poem, Poet's Lament comes from several different angles, and it's kind of the step aside and let's beat ourselves up and feel bad and feel isolated and feel negative. A lot of the imagery of the poem was inspired by a story within a story in John Irving's The World According to Garp. Garp writes a short story called The Magic Gloves about a man who finds a pair of magic gloves, and when he wears them he can touch those around him and make them happy and fulfill them and grant their wishes and all that, but he can never actually feel the gloves. And there are times as a romantic poet I feel like I can make other people happy and and feel good about themselves and fall in love, but I so often find myself playing the transitional man or playing the facilitator of other people's affairs. And, sitting alone, as I am right now at this point in my life, despite the presence of some very inspiring women in my life, that kind of has an irony to it. And it's a little strange.
Hits the bone and cuts through to the marrow. Like last time and every time. For the heart feeds or withers. So let the candles be lit and the tapestries hung and the windows opened to let the night air. The garden paths of stone bear the tread of the next fair woman who will share the whole, who will bear her soul, who will dare control the stallions of Apollo as I brave the cliffs in the name of love.
I've got a certain yearning to be in your arms and burning with a fire that ignites us and burns through the night.
It's a need to hold. But anyway, more generic about the disc. I was trying to bring it all together when the lady herself, the muse who is the focal point of this, emailed me a picture she had had taken by someone. A very talented photographer named Lucy Gringotts that was exotic and erotic without really showing anything and just had a great, sexy, beautiful, mysterious, otherworldly, cryptic heat to it. And I said, I've always wanted to use you as a cover model on one of my books or one of my CDs. Can I use this picture and can I dedicate the CD to you? And she said, let me think about it. And she thought about it. And finally, I threw down. I said, look, I'm gonna run out of time to work on this thing if you don't, make a decision. And if you want to say no, that's cool. My feelings for you will go unabated, but I need to know. So she said yes.
Burning in this chosen sphere, I touch uncertain flame. I enter you to draw you near, mad tigress from the tame. Cut me, claw me, inside draw me. Let me feel a fire more than light.
Now, the cut poem that this is built around, Burning in the Chosen Sphere, was actually written to the muse. There is something dark and sexy about her. And it was sort of a reaching out. Now, this piece is interesting because the band and I couldn't decide whether to do it light and unadorned or rock it up a bit. So we compromised a bit.
Crimson you burn.
I did a reading of it.
Higher.
And higher. They laid the music behind
burns
it.
This fire. Goddess,
and then
ash and blood
we did
turn.
A transition. And within the same piece, I'm going to do the poem a second time. And that's coming up in just a second. And you're going to find a slightly different take on it.
I enter you to draw so you let's near. Listen. Mad tigress from the tame. In this chosen sphere, I touch on certain flame. I enter you to draw you near, mad tigress from the tame. Cut me, claw me, inside draw me. Let me feel a fire more than light. Cut me, claw me, inside draw me. Make me know desire you ignite. burning in your hungry bed, I feel you catching fire. In your body, in your head, you climb a carnal spire. Higher, higher burns this fire, igniting you, crimson you burn. Higher, higher burns this fire, goddess of ashen blood you turn. Burning in this chosen sphere, I touch on certain flame. I enter you to draw you near, mad tigress from the tame.
Now, the next two pieces kind of play off that dark and scary vibe she gave me. They were both written after I got to know her. The first is called Slitoris. The second is called Cut Me. Different, huh? Well, the poem came, and yes, it is an intentional mangling of the imagery of slitting or cutting and the word clitoris. I found it an interesting word play. I went through a period of time there where there were almost vampiric fantasies intruding in into my erotic works, largely inspired by Night Blooming. And if you take a look at the cover in the light of that, you go, oh, yeah, there is something very Anne Rice about all of this. And a couple pieces came out that were just very sexual with a certain menace and a certain bloodiness to them. And I actually found them interesting, intriguing, sexy. Say what you will about me, I'm not easy. Okay, I'm easy, but I'm not easy to understand. But this piece came out interesting. The reading actually came first, and then the band laid down just some beautiful stuff behind it.
Am the Blade.
Here comes Cut Me. We're going to undergo a slight shift of tone now. So enjoy, I'll be right back.
Cut me in my sleep. Not too deep, just enough to see the welding red. Bow your head and drink my life in tender sips through tainted lips.
Anybody else finding this just a trifle dark? It's okay. No actual poets were hurt in the taping of this piece. Yeah, after I listened to this, I was like, holy crap. You know, where is that coming from? And the truth is, it's coming from Night Blooming. This is true. My muses affect what I write. And my writings reflect their personality and their view and the vibration that I receive from talking to them, listening to them, looking at them, reading their writings. And there was definitely some really, really dark crap going on here. But it's okay. As I said, no actual poets or muses were harmed in the recording of this. It just came out very, very interesting. Now, right after this piece, right after Cut Me, you're going to hear a piece called Bright and Deadly. Yeah, it doesn't sound very promising, does it? I think you'll find it's something of a change from the funereal aspect of this one. A little more energetic, shall we say. And certainly not as bloody.
Bright and deadly came the dream upon the face once blessed with shade, and all the withered thoughts then played to lay the path of new regime. Birthing black, the skies rolled back to find a key and lock blocked souls that gave us pause to ponder rules assigned to us at dayspring's crack. Bright and deadly came the thought immersed in pain and memory that tore the soul like emery until I learned what I had taught. Repenting not the penanced prayers that brought me to my bruised knees, to touch me with a new disease acquired in the liar's lairs. I want.
I really like that line, acquired in the liar's lairs. Talks about how our worldview, our passions, our way of expressing ourselves, our public face, is influenced by our histories. I had come off a relationship where initially I had, as I want to do, assigned a lot of virtue to the woman that really wasn't there. My life has been one giant quest for someone who lives up to my expectations while allowing myself to be diverted very easily. And I just come off a relationship where I found out that the person not only didn't live up to my expectations, the person didn't live up to just standard codes of conduct. And when I found she'd been very deceitful, not only to me, but about me to people, to manipulate situations, I could take no more, and I said, I'm out. Which is rare for me, because usually once in, I'm in.
To embrace you,
but it was just so egregious, I couldn't deal with it. So this was my way of expressing that, you know, please forgive me if I've got some hesitancies here, or if I doubt you, or if I seem a little paranoid, but, you know, I've got this new disease I acquired in the liar's lair, and it's influencing the way that I view those that I'm drawn to. But this piece is interesting because the reading, you'll note, is very fast. I kind of gunned it there, and that's because I wrote the piece, they wrote the music, and then I did the reading. It was kind of a challenge to me. And I kind of like the way it came out.
Splintered glass, pass the plate and hate the widow for her 2 cents worth. Earth, birthing, bright premonition of the precognizant, memory made mock in the hands of the clock, stalking us with the talking blues of hues of red, bled from leprous thoughts, caught on taut trot lines.
Tough to get a word in edgewise on this one.
Digging.
This is my
to secure
fairly well-regarded poem, 32 feet per second per second,
and reassurances
re-envisioned into this musical number, 32 FPS 2, which is just shorthand for the same thing.
And thunder, and
I do some odd things with my voice on this that work. I'm hesitant to see what it'll be like if I do this thing live, because I think I'll be a little self-conscious. I was willing to play with my voice here. I tend to be a little shy about that. You'll note that for all the recordings I've done, I almost never sing, although I've been told my voice is at least adequate. I'm a reader, and I can be fairly expressive like that. And I don't think of myself as a spoken word artist. Lord knows I've been to see spoken word performances that made me want to puke. One particular night at the New Eureka in New York, I was stunned at the fact that there were eight people competing,
on the path,
and there was, maybe one poet in among them. The rest were frustrated actors looking for an opportunity to get a beer commercial. That phrase got me in trouble with a serious
and I would gladly pay
friend of mine.
Twice the price of Odin for the wisdom to know the truth.
Anybody for a real classic? Here comes Horizon. Anybody says, I had a blast recording this one. Got to take my voice down, getting the old Amomancer kind of tone of voice. We got to play with some vocal filters. I love the guitar work in this, that rapid fire. And considering all the baggage this poem carries, I wrote it forever ago. As events in my life have kind of fit into it since it was written, there are those who are prone to call it a prophecy and imply some sort of metaphysical value. It's funny, because I have friends who are card-carrying atheists who still believe in metaphysical things and tarot cards and all sorts of superstitions, but they don't believe in God. And to me, that's kind of like saying, I'm a vegetarian, but I eat meat. That's just dumb. But this came out so interesting to me. I don't know if anybody else is going to really like it. But to me, it captured the poem. I sort of felt like Alberto Ginastera when he heard Emerson, Lake and Palmer's rendition of his Toccata and Fugue in D minor. it's exactly as it would have sounded in my head. Now, coming up on this, we have really the first piece that I wrote as a musical piece to Night Blooming. It's called Skyscraper Ambition, and the reason it's called that is she's very tall. She's almost 6 foot, and it was a fun piece to write. I hope you enjoyed listening to a bit of it. Everybody catch that? That was a little bit of Spanish. Night Blooming is Hispanic, and she gave me a line to insert into this song.
Die with a legacy of what we see, and still can't look beyond blonde hairs on bond to the steel of brothers waiting patiently their turn as I burn to generate a sweet heat that swelters and shelters down in a shell well turned of turbid motion, an epic epigram that slams me down to draw new life from the earth. Birthing fantastic fantasies of skyscraper ambition and the sedition.
One of the things I really like about this piece is rather than being sort of a song that doesn't quite get to a singing vocal, it's more of a mood piece. The music kind of supplements the reading in a manner that lends tone and ambiance without compelling me to do something with my voice that is musical. Again, I'm not a big fan of my voice musically. And I'd rather dodge that once in a while. There were actually two pieces that were in the original envisioning of this CD that got cut. Because when I went back and listened to them, I went, my voice sucks. And it's really not that it sucks, it's just I'm not comfortable with that within the product. And those two pieces were Enchante and Wailing Wall, which I can live without. It's an interesting piece. It just still doesn't work for me. I'm still not that comfortable with my voice.
With what lies beyond the pillars.
Now we're into the home stretch. There's only three pieces left on the CD. And this next one is called The Golden Apples. And for those of you who know the mythology of Atalanta, it'll make sense.
Pleasure.
immortality traded for a kiss.
Now, you may note this has a certain ragged feel to it. It's actually something that I went for. The band and I were goofing around, and we decided that one of the early takes where we had a lot of lightweight stuff going on was just too much fun. There was a chaos to it, but it was an infectious chaos. And we enjoyed that a great deal, so we decided to stick with it. For those of you who don't know the story of Atlanta, she was a tall and very athletic woman known for her ability to run swift. And a young man who wanted to win her had to go on a quest to recover the golden apples. And then when he ran a foot race with her, the foot race was her challenge. If you could beat her at the foot race, you could marry her. And if you lost, you were put to death. So he got these golden apples, and he raced her. And at points during the race, he would throw the apples to the side to draw her off.
Give me.
Because they were just impossible to resist.
Traded for a kiss.
And so he won.
Angels sleep a shift when we repose. Knowing that life goes on, and that even sentinels must nod from time to time. And knowing that I am safe in your arms, and you in mine.
This one drove me nuts to record. We had a slice of music that we had nicknamed Manticore. And it was great and upbeat and wonderful, and we were actually considering putting it on as just a straight instrumental. But, you know, a lot of poets don't do straight instrumentals. How many straight instrumentals are there on Bob Dylan albums? Because the word is everything. And I went nuts trying to find a poem that was appropriately upbeat for it. And even the one we finally settled on, Angels Sleep, required a specific read to it. And this is actually a snapshot poem. It's about a moment in my life. It's about a time in my life, a certain person in my life. But even those emotions carry forward and carry over to Night Blooming and affect, and in fact, the way I view her. Interestingly enough, the woman that this poem was about, Angel's Sleep, is the same woman I referred to earlier when I talked about a liar's lair. Again, I had gone in with certain visions and come out with the truth.
I want the fire before I die. I want to see it in your eyes. I want to feel it on your thigh. I want the fire before I die.
Kind of the caffeinated brother to Poet's Lament, huh? This one was loads of fun to do because we took the reading and built the music around it. And this is actually the last number on the CD, I Want the Fire. I want to thank everybody who was associated with this CD. It came out quite nice. I want to thank Meg Blooming for her inspiration. I want to thank Sage Sweetwater and Candy Tothill for providing liner comments. The band, you guys know who you are. And everybody who ever inspired any of these works. It's been a long, strange trip. It's been a good, strange trip. And I hope you'll be inspired by listening to this to run out and order a CD, buy a CD. I've got three others out there and a fifth coming out soon. But this one is called Amomancer Night Blooming. And you can get it through my website, www.cityoflegends.com. Or you can order it at a higher price and unsigned through the distributor, lulu.com. I'd say go to my site, save the money, and get the autograph. But, you know, that's between you and your wallet.
I want to see it.
But have a good week. Have a good evening. Have a good life. Don't be afraid to love. Don't be afraid to listen to poetry. Or even write it once in a while.
Before I die. I want to hear you. Say my name. Without regret. Without shame. Confess your sins. End this game. I want to hear you. Say my name. I want the fire before I die. I want to see it in your eyes. I want to taste it between your thighs. I want the fire before I die. Before I die.
This is William F. Duvall, the romantic poet of the internet, and you've been listening to From Out of the City. This week, playing the entirety of my new CD, Amomancer, Night Blooming.